Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Gen 40 heater. Natural gas bills will be $46 a month higher compared to last year. The Gen 40 has dual hybrid technology and will reduce your heating bill every month and save you money. Save $50 on the Gen 40 with code HOWIE50 at EdenPureDeals.com.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Mr. Epps was in front of the January 6th committee, and we were told that a transcript of his interview would be released, but was he sworn
None of the transcripts have been released, so you don't need a conspiracy theory about that.
Move on! Nothing to see here!
And now you guys are doing it to this poor Ray Epps. Leave that guy alone, whoever he is.
Leave him!
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
This clean energy agenda is really a transformation, a transformational opportunity.
Well, this term clean energy, I think it screwed up people's minds.
Biden has been bragging about how this Inflation Reduction Act is going to get the economy back on track.
The economy works for everyone and not to leave anyone behind.
And in 41 states, plus the District of Columbia, the average gasoline price is less than $2.99.
In a world of pure imagination.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
If Trump had said that, lied about the gas prices, it wouldn't override the hurricane in Florida, but it would be the second story of the day, probably for a couple of days. 844-500-4242. The real estate market is changing, shall we say, with the economic turmoil and the rising interest rates and the fact that fewer and fewer people can afford to buy homes because of the rising interest rates. There's stories today that the rental housing market has at least leveled off, maybe even gone down a little bit for the first time in 2 years. Same way with housing prices in many places have at least started to level off. So it seems like a good time to talk to Justin Manning about the real estate market and what's going on. And he owns J.J. Manning, which is the auctioneers, real estate auctioneers all through New England. Justin, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Thanks for having me on, Howie. I just spoke to some University of Florida students that were going to be graduating, and they said to me, when they heard I was in real estate, they said, when do you think we're going to be able to buy a house? And I had to laugh a little bit. And I said, do you have a rich uncle or, you know, that could give you a low interest rate? I don't think they like that answer.
It's the same question that was being asked, I think, a little over 40 years ago when the stagflation of the Carter administration was going on. I mean, people were jumping into the real estate market like they have been for the last couple of years because they were afraid that the prices were just going to keep skyrocketing and they'd be boxed out of the market for forever.
Right. And we were at, like, the last time we spoke, probably a month or so ago, we were at a mid-tide with the market, and now we are seeing all the indicators that are showing that the market is sliding, as we all knew that it wasn't like we had a hunch. We all knew, based upon what the government's doing, that it was going to inevitably be a fact. So now we're seeing 7 straight months of a reduction in sales. We're seeing property. I think the Realtor.com just put out their stats that the average house is now on the market for 34 days instead of for 3.4 seconds as it had been. So we're getting back not to normal, but now we're getting back to a declining market. And now the issue you've got is sellers that look at it and say, hey, I want to get what somebody got 6 months or 12 months ago. They cannot get that now. Obviously with some outliers, but they're not going to get that because we're in a different market now.
And is it just the high interest rates that have crushed the market, or is it other factors as well?
It's more than that. You had a caller before. I was listening before I got on talking about his property taxes. The interesting phenomenon that happens with property taxes is as the market accelerated, as it did over the past number of years, the assessors, they catch up as quickly as the prices go up. They get caught up.
I've noticed.
When the market starts. when the market slides the other way, believe me, they don't catch up in the reverse.
I've noticed that as well.
So when talking about some of the bigger bills, if you will, even if somebody that's very well off owns a property outright, their tax bill could be still fairly hefty, you know, just to own the property. So I think that the cost of goods, the lack of disposable income now because everything is so expensive, that's putting a huge squeeze on it as well.
So is it too late to sell your house if you want to get the hell out of New England and move to a no-tax or a low-tax state?
So here's the key right now. If we keep following the information and as we see it and as what makes sense, because I'm always trying to chase the truth. And so when we look at it, we have to realize that in a year from now, prices will be less than they are now. So what I would say is, okay, if you're realistic, if you have equity, if you want to make a change, then still now is the time to be able to do that, because the longer you wait, the more you're going to look back with regret, to the mm-hmm. point where I'll tell you right now we have four Howie listeners that are selling their property for that exact reason. They don't want to sell in a year for 10-15% less than they can garner today.
Right.
So we've got a six family brick house in Orange, Mass. We've got a two family in Lawrence, Mass. We've got a ranch house in Merrimack, New Hampshire. And we got a big family house in Southborough, Mass. All those people understand they're realistic, they're grounded, and they know that the price that we can get for them today is definitely going to be better than what they can garner in a year.
So what you're saying is you may have regrets that you didn't do this 6 months or a year ago, but if you wait 6 months or another year, you may have even more regrets.
That comment is exactly what I was looking for, Howie. I think that there's a term they're using right now, and it's called the rate lock-in effect. Rate hyphen lock hyphen in hyphen effect. Rate lock-in effect, and it's those people that don't want to sell because they're going to lose out on that super low interest rate
yeah.
that they got the last couple of years. So it's kind of a phenomenon. So you've got I'm always looking at stats in the market because that's what drives the information. And new listings coming on of houses in the United States, you had in June and July of this year, you had 128,000 new listings in each of those months, roughly. And then in August, it dropped down to only 32,000.
Really? One quarter?
Yeah, exactly. And it's for two reasons, Howie. One, as you said, they know they can't get what was they put it out there. They've seen what's been put out there. They realize that they can't get what was available 6 or 12 months ago. And secondly, they feel pretty comfy with that. And I think many of us do with that nice fixed, the lowest fixed rate you're going to have in your entire life. So that's some of the trepidation. That's what's causing some of the trepidation from the selling side. But honestly, if you're going to make a move, you know, make the move now. Refinance later. It may be 10 years before we get back to, you know, what we had, if we ever do. But if you want to make a move, now is going to be better.
So make the pitch why people should go if they want to get out of owning in New England. Why should they go with auctions rather than the standard way of selling a home?
Sure. So I think that for the most part, I believe that in an auction scenario, you're going to be able to bypass all the things that blow up deals. So in other words, look at this. Here's a perfect example. You see a nice house, it has a for sale sign, and all of a sudden it says pending.
Right.
As a hanging attachment on the bottom of that for sale
right.
sign. And then a week later you drive by, Howie.
And it's for sale again.
It's gone.
Yeah.
And not even that, just the pending piece is missing. Now what happened? Okay. Well, I'll tell you what happened. It didn't pass inspection. There was an appraisal issue. The buyer wanted some sort of contingency that the seller couldn't agree. There was some haggling that went on that blew up the deal. And now what happens? Now you're 2 months past, and now you lost money, and now you have to start from scratch again. And now, even more, your property is now stigmatized because people mm-hmm. know that process happened. So the beautiful thing about what I do and what our company does is that when you sell, you're selling it with no contingencies other than title, meaning you can clear your debt, and there's no other contingencies that are going to hang up or change the deal. So it's so pure and so straightforward. And again, it's not like we've been doing this for 4 years. We've been doing this for 46 years. So we're really good at what we do, and we know how to squeeze all the juice out of the orange, whatever that is. And I tell every client now, whether they're a Howie listener or they're not, I can't get you what you were going to get a year ago. So please understand that going in. I'm going to get the best we can for you. And if you're realistic, let's do it. And if you're not realistic, then sell in 10 years.
So where do you operate out of? People always ask, you know, they call from Vermont or Connecticut or a place like that. What states do you operate in?
So for my dad passed away 7 years ago. For legacy and for just good vibes, I have kept our original office on Route 6A in Yarmouthport, which is not convenient. But at the same time, too, in this COVID world of being able to work anywhere, it flies. And so our company does business and are licensed to do business in New England, New York, and Florida. The vast majority of what we do is in New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island. But again, it's the funny thing is about what we do, it fits in any market. It's all about what the buyer pool is. That's the only variable. What's the buyer pool? The process and procedure is identical across the board.
The pool is not as there's been a drought like there has been overall in the water supply, right? For the buyer pool.
100%. And it happened in July. All of a sudden, we felt and saw visibly on the ground, boots on the ground, buyers pumping the brakes. So what that means to a potential seller is, all right, well, if I want to try to simulate what was, auction is the answer. Because, as we always say, the up market, down market, in between market, we can generate a level of competition and a number of buyers that can't be replicated in a traditional listing just for the sheer process.
Okay, so where can people go if they want to learn more about the auction process to sell their real estate before the prices fall even further?
Sure, they can visit our website at jjmanning.com, or they can call my man Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111.
Okay, give us the web address and the number again, Justin Manning.
Yep, jjmanning.com, or call Charlie at 800-521-0111.
Okay, and the vast majority of your listings are in New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island, but you operate in all the New England states, New York, and Florida. So you can handle.
Yeah. And if someone's beyond that realm of states too, understand, because of my dad and myself and our in the length of our family in this business, I can probably point them to the right person as opposed to them trying to Google who the right person is in other states and at least head them in the right direction, because it's a very niche industry which has a low barrier to entry, lacks professionalism, and because of those reasons we have attempted to debunk that by our results.
All right, Justin Manning, thank you very much. Go to jjmanning.com if you want to find out more about the auction process for your home, if you want to get out before there's further contractions in the market. Thank you, Justin Manning. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
He hasn't quite reached the get-off-my-lawn status, but he's getting pretty close.
You've grown up on instant orange juice. Flip a dial, instant entertainment. Dial seven digits, instant communication. Turn a key, push a pedal, instant transportation. Flash a card, instant money. Shove in a problem, push a few buttons, instant answers.
The Howie Carr Show will be right back.
Number four, Bobby Orr.
Howie Carr is back.
Officer Mark says, you may not believe in Sasquatch, but I believe that he has already received his mail-in ballots.
How dare you?
Probably in multiple states, too. 844-500-4242. 978 says, I normally use the Gas Buddy app, but now I'm going to be using the Gas Brandon app. probably $2.99 a gallon in 41 states. One of the texters said he drove from Kansas City to Atlanta yesterday, and the lowest price he saw was $3.16. Yeah, that's all those states you drove through. They must be some of the not the 41 states in the District of Columbia that Brandon was talking about, where the price is now below $3. Today's poll question is brought to you by Rizzo Insurance. When was the last time you had someone audit your insurance to see if you're getting the most coverage for your money? Contact Dan or Paul Rizzo at RizzoInsurance.com. They have helped me and my staff, and they can help you save money too. Get the Rizzo Insurance audit at no charge, no obligation. You have nothing to lose but higher bills. RizzoInsurance.com. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Do you believe Sasquatch exists?
No, I don't.
52% say no.
Ooh!
I am blown away by how many people actually believe, or if, I don't know if they actually believe, but responded yes to this poll.
Well, I thought you believed in it.
Who said I believed?
Well, you seem to be an expert in all of these.
I was into this stuff when I was a kid. Cryptids, yes, but
you don't believe?
I would like to believe, but I'm a skeptic of most things at heart.
I'd like to believe in Tasmanian tigers, the marsupials that look like striped big dogs.
Didn't they find one recently?
They keep saying they found them or someone sees them, but then you look at the video and it's very grainy and it most likely is a dog. I don't think they found them. I think that eventually they'll, you know, not when I'm alive or when any of us are alive, but someday they'll be able to, you know, use the DNA from the remaining corpses or whatever, and recreate the Tasmanian tiger, but I won't live to see it, and nor will you most likely. Anyway, 844-500-4242. If you want to get an early start on your Christmas shopping, we have a good deal going on this week. Make Gas Cheap Again t-shirts like the one I'm wearing right now on Rumble and social media. You can buy two of those t-shirts for the price of one. Make Gas Cheap Again t-shirts. They're great t-shirts. Go to HowieCarShow.com, click on store, and you get BOGO. Buy one, get one free for just half price. A good deal. 844-500-4242. Nick, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Nick.
Hello, sir.
Hi.
I wanted to say thank you very much for the Let's Go Brandon t-shirt that I received today in the mail from calling in last week for being a Patriot Mobile supporter.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. I'm glad. I hope you wear it in good health, Nick.
Oh, absolutely. Now, also, I was talking to your screener there, and I wanted to find out, apparently up here in Maine has signed on with 16 other states to
right.
follow whatever California's doing.
Right. Massachusetts is in that category, too. Yeah, I don't think it's a new thing. I think it's been in effect for a long time.
Well, right, but that was never on a ballot. So how does that, you know, I never voted for that, and I'm a loyal voter.
Well, I think the legislature approved it, and that's why you need a Republican majority in the in all legislatures, Nick, to prevent this kind of nonsense from happening. But yeah, they're going to go along with it. Virginia's part of the if California jumps off the cliff, we'll follow them. And now Glenn Youngkin is trying to repeal it, and he's got a Republican majority in the lower branch, but not in the upper branch yet. It's a pain. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. So last Friday, General Motors issued a memo to all of its, white-collar staff saying that they would have to return to work at least 3 days per week beginning later in this year, and there was a meltdown. How pitiful is this? So GM executives today reversed course in an update to staffers today, saying the plan won't be implemented until the first quarter of next year at the earliest. The company also apologized for the manner in which employees learned of the change, that they were going to have to go back to work. "We acknowledge that the timing of the message late on a Friday afternoon was unfortunate. It was also unintentional." How pathetic is this? They don't want to go back to work. It's not about going back to the office, it's about going back to work. 844-500-4242. They chose the two new names for the new Martha's Vineyard ferries, Monomoy and Aquina. Sadly, none of the Howie Carr Show choices were selected. Oh no, the SS Delmont was not selected? There were so many good names, or the SS Gayhead. That's a shame.
I figure they have to go for a Native American thing. Are they going to have to come up with a logo for that?
I don't know.
I think that was out of guilt.
What, those two? I mean, they're not.
I've got no problem with it, but it.
I mean, they could be worse. Given the way this state is going, it could have been worse than Monomoy and Aquina. But I would have preferred Delmont and Gayhead.
Very bland names. We already have things in this state named those things.
I know. Now they're coming after the Atlanta Braves. You saw that yesterday. The Atlanta Braves go to the White House and they say they want them to get rid of the name Braves. And just judging by the terrible new mascots they've come up with for the Washington Redskins are now the Commanders. How boring is that? And the Cleveland Indians are now the Cleveland Guardians. I can only imagine how pathetic the name for the Atlanta Braves will be if they finally change it, which they're probably going to do. I want to mention just a couple of stories here. If you read the New York Post, there's a horrible story online. Vagrant seen pummeling woman in a New York City subway station killed his own grandmother in the 90s. They have a videotape of this. A homeless man, also known as a bum, was captured on surveillance footage beating a woman inside a Queens subway station last week. He was arrested as a teen decades ago for killing his own grandmother. Waheed Foster, 41, has a lengthy criminal history, including a bust for beating his grandmother to death in 1995 when he was 14. It's unclear how long he served. This woman was going to JFK Airport. She's a security guard. She was on the early. She's working the early shift, and he just started hassling her on the train. She got off at Howard Beach. That's where John Gotti used to live, the mob boss. And it's also near the airport. And he followed her out there and beat her up. And now she may lose an eye. She was beaten that badly. And he was also, in addition to murdering his grandmother, he was also arrested in 2010. What's his name? Waheed Foster. He was arrested for stabbing a 50-year-old woman in the cheek and shoulder. That violence occurred at a mental institution where he punched two other people, according to a lawsuit that stemmed from the incident. He's on parole until 2024 for that one. His other prior arrests include busts for assaulting a woman with a screwdriver, criminal mischief, robbery, and larceny. He has two other pending criminal matters on charges of criminal mischief and minor theft. How's that no bail thing working out for New York City and the state of New York?
By the way, can we change the name of the Atlanta Braves to the Atlanta Governors in honor of Stacey Abrams?
that would be appropriate. And you know, talk about the audacity of Biden.
Or the Atlanta Heavyweights, also in honor of Stacey Abrams.
He wanted to move, and he and Stacey Abrams got the All-Star game moved out of Atlanta last year. Cost the Braves a lot of money and prestige. Cost all the merchants in Atlanta a ton of money, millions of dollars. And then he has the audacity to invite them to the White House after they win the World Series. And on the same day that he invites them to the World Series, after basically costing them a lot of money with the taking away the All-Star game, moving it to Denver, his caregivers announced that the team's name has to be changed. 844-500-4242. We've been talking about this this scandal in Minnesota with Feeding Our Future. It's this scam. It was run by a woman who recruited all these Somalis to basically allegedly steal $250 million at least from these COVID feeding the youth programs. It's a massive criminal probe, and tens of millions of dollars aimed for needy children instead bankrolled lavish spending on jewelry, luxury cars, and properties in Minnesota and across the globe, including in Kenya. Well, three of the Somali defendants have already fled the country. And she has a live-in boyfriend. This is in on the Star Tribune has a story about this today. And it got picked up by powerlineblog.com. And she has a boyfriend who is a convicted felon. He's a live-in boyfriend, and his name is Empress. He's a guy, but his name is Empress Watson.
Spelled E-M-P-R-E-S-S?
Yes. Yes, Empress Watson. And on Powerline Blog, I put it on Howie's homework if you want to check it out, they have a picture of Empress Watson. And he's not been charged in this yet. But they have a picture of, his name is Empress Malcolm Watson. He was convicted of felony domestic assault in 2017. And some of the money that was from this charity that was a scam was sent to a Wells Fargo account that Empress Malcolm Watson is the sole signatory on the account. And he apparently spent, according to the Daily Mail, spent tens of thousands of the ill-gotten gains on flash cars and designer items. They have a picture. Check out the picture of Watson.
See some neck tattoos.
He's got neck tattoos. Well, I'm thinking of the picture. He's posing in front of a Rolls Royce. And it's one of those super, super
in front. Rolls-Royce. He's inside of it.
Inside of it. And it's got the suicide doors, which are open wide. So, you know, if they got the suicide doors, you know, it's like
real custom.
Real custom model. And he's got his hands in the air, and he's giving the finger to everybody. This is the charity. And as Powerline Blog says, she figured out the scam that her MO was to scream discrimination whenever anyone questioned the bona fides of her program, because she was the white woman at the top, and she had all these Somali, everyone else who's been indicted is a Somali American. Her Somali recruits were the key. They got rich quick. And one of the Somalis who's been on top of this told the Star Tribune, which is, you know, reporting this, they're angry that they have to even report it at all. She said the people, this Abdi Nur, who's the Somali who knows what's going on, the people who were running the sites had been living in Section 8 housing, poor people. All of a sudden, they were living in million-dollar homes and driving nice cars. It was a free-for-all. Yet the Minnesota Department of Education kept the money flowing. She screamed discrimination. Bach, that's the white woman at the head of the conspiracy, was so certain of her mastery of the discrimination grift that she kept it up when the FBI conducted raids on her and her recruits all over the Twin Cities in January. Because, again, she just claimed discrimination. 844-500-4242. So that's the latest. Check that out on Howie's homework, or go to there's a link to powerlineblog.com. You got to see this picture. Could we tweet that picture out, Taylor? Is that available?
Yeah, we can tweet it out.
Let's tweet the picture out of Empress, whatever his name, Watson. You can see your tax dollars at work with this thing. 844-500-4242. I'm wearing my Make Gas Cheap Again t-shirt, and you can buy the 2-for-1 right now, HowieCarshow.com. Click on store. The other t-shirt that we have, it's not available, 2-for-1 deal, is Let's Go Brandon. There's a story about a Let's Go Brandon t-shirt out of San Francisco. One San Francisco Fire Department firefighter could be in hot water after a citizen spotted him wearing a shirt with political affiliations. On Saturday, witnesses saw a group of firefighters working on a hydrant. One of the witnesses noticed something a little bit different about the uniform the firefighters were wearing. One firefighter was wearing a shirt that reads, "Let's go, Brandon," across the back. You can imagine that the woke city of San Francisco went crazy very quickly.
Let's go, Brandon. I agree.
So it's endorsed by the President of the United States. The San Francisco Fire Department was made aware via social media of an employee wearing a non-SFFD t-shirt while on duty. This violates the department's uniform policy. It does not reflect the views or opinions of the San Francisco Fire Department. The department took immediate action once made aware. The SFFD has followed internal and city policies to handle this incident. 844-500.
What if the t-shirt were just a quote, "Let's go, Brandon, comma, I agree, period," close quotation, attributed to Joe Biden? That's a factual statement.
I know.
Would that be a political statement?
Yeah, Joe Biden.
Public record.
How about if it said in 41 states in the District of Columbia, the price of gas is under $2.99 a gallon? Would the guy be in legal jeopardy of losing his job if he had that on his t-shirt? I mean, Brandon said that too, didn't he? He just said it yesterday or 2 days ago. 844-500-4242. You can get your Let's Go Brandon t-shirts for yourself if you're not a member of the San Francisco Fire Department. You just can't wear, I guess you can get it even if you were a member, but you just can't wear it on duty. But your better buy right now is let's make gas cheap again. 2 for 1. Go to HowieCarShow.com, click on store. I'm Howie Carr.
Badges. We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
Howie Carr is back.
Right. 919 says, what if the Let's Go Brandon t-shirt was support for a gay guy running in a San Francisco 5K? 508 says, the firefighter was a fan of NASCAR. Bleep the left. Yeah, it's San Francisco, you know? That's the city by the bay. 844-500-4242. I want to read you some more about this raid in Beverly Hills, the branch of U.S. private vaults. This was last year. The feds illegally seized and have withheld property from innocent American savings. Agents took more than $86 million in cash, jewelry, and gold from 1,400 safe deposit boxes during the raid of a Beverly Hills vault company in March of last year. And they said it was that the owners of U.S. private vaults were in a conspiracy to launder drug money, and they pleaded guilty to that. But, you know, hundreds, if not more than 1,000 of the people that had the boxes were just innocent civilians. And their assets were seized by the FBI, even though they weren't suspected of any crimes, according to court documents. And so they were sued by the Institute for Justice. It's a libertarian nonprofit law firm. And we brought the suit on behalf of seven clients, said the lawyer, Robert Fromer, but we were representing a class of at least 400 people. According to Los Angeles Magazine, federal agents manhandled the personal belongings of box holders and made video and photo records of customers' most sensitive documents. Pay stubs, password lists, credit cards, a prenup agreement, immigration and vaccination records, bank statements, and a will all made it into a government database. Jennifer and Paul Snitko were two of the people who kept items at the Beverly Hills U.S. private vaults. They placed wills, backup hard drives, old family watches, and Paul's flight log in their deposit box. They were all seized. They live in a fire-prone area, so that's why they did it. They weren't trying to hide anything. And, you know, they said they didn't know that they were involved in any drug trafficking. They were, U.S. Private Vaults was a member of the Beverly Hills Chamber of Commerce. So they sued, they were one of the plaintiffs in the lawsuit, Jennifer and Paul Snitko. They announced the lawsuit. An FBI agent minutes later reached out saying their belongings would be returned. As the Institute for Justice points out, the government had no right to seize their property and force them to prove their innocence in the first place. So you were guilty until proven innocent if you happened to make the mistake of putting your valuables in one of these safe deposit boxes. 3 months after a ruling by the judge, another judge, that this couldn't be done, a temporary restraining order, the government asked a judge to let it keep $154,000 in cash from one box holder and $330,000 from another because a drug-sniffing dog alerted the feds to the money, and both owners had, quote, applied unsuccessfully for state licenses to sell marijuana. Wait, but selling marijuana is now legal in California, so they engaged in a legal action, and they're being penalized. The government also, listen to this one, the government also wants to keep $960,000 and $519,000 in cash it took from the boxes of two brothers based on the belief that one of them had been in contact with, that's quote, in contact with, suspected bank robbers. What? Do you know who I've been in contact with over the years, Taylor? Did they get to take all my money away? I know they'd like to, but they don't get to. Prosecutors accused the owner of another box containing $900,000 of being, quote, either a top-level drug trafficker or money launderer, unquote, because the man bundled his cash in assorted rubber bands, tape-wrapped paper, bank bands, and shopping bags. The feds were forced to give back the $57,000 life savings of unemployed chef Joseph Ruiz after insisting there was no way he could have legally saved up that kind of cash. Ruiz proved otherwise. So again, all these people were guilty until proven innocent. This is outrageous. Is there anything on MSNBC or CNN about this? Anything in the New York Times or the Washington Post about this? I'm Howie Carr.